Heather Grinders, and welcome to your favorite true crime podcast. This podcast about getting older and the experiences that we have gained along the way. Yeah. I am your host, Sean.
And I'm
and with me.
Brian, sorry.
yeah, Brian.
Say, and,
yeah.
I'm Britt.
You're Britt. Oh my God. This whole time you have gotten it.
Yeah.
Wow. My last name is Flowers. It's great. Well, anyways, Brian, what do you mean you don't like it?
I don't like it.
Okay, that's fair. Also, with Brian, what do you mean you don't like it?
I like it, just not as much as my beaten brick.
Kyle, what do you mean you don't like it?
Small town America, an idyllic place to raise a family. The place where people leave their doors unlocked until murder comes knocking. And then everybody is questioning everybody. On this episode of True Crime, Totes Babes.
Was that prepared?
No, that was all off the cuff.
That is top notch, and I didn't expect that. That is fantastic.
It was just like any other
until she turned up murder.
Did you guys ever notice that every day is just kind of like every other day?
It's preach, bro.
Until somebody dies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird. But what's weird about that is people die every day. So are those days just like
not
any
enough.
Other day? Not
it
enough.
Like every not other enough.
At a point where more
until
people
she
could
woke
die.
Woke up dead.
I think every day's a new good day to make some peanut butter cookies and bring them to a party.
Sure.
And just see what happens.
And that's when this podcast got turned upside down.
Guys, listeners, thank you all for joining us on another fantastic week. I have dragged these boys along for something that I think that I've brought up about 4,200 times post-show
roughly
over the span of the last year and a half, being like, oh, I'm going to remember to make you guys watch this. Or it's like, hey, you should watch this, knowing full well that nobody's ever going to, so I made you. So anyways, this week we're talking about a little something called Milk and Cereal. And I know that sounds so, that's a fantastic hat. That sounds so innocent and not at all what this movie is, but I've got to start off by asking the three of you, in the 4,200 times that I've recommended or told somebody to watch this, has anybody watched this prior?
Hell no.
Sick.
I have not watched it. I have had it in one of my tabs for the last year as one to watch, but never pressed play until tabs. This. So it was one of the 42 tabs that never went away. It was always there. I thought about it a lot.
Ryan?
It's too many tabs. No, I've not heard of this outside of you mentioning it. I've not heard of the creator of this. I completely blind spot.
I do want to know how the hell you heard about it.
Yeah.
So, man, I've realized recently on our Patreon episodes, patreon.com/experiencegrind, when you guys reference a whole bunch of like really short videos and stuff, I don't watch those. If anything's less than 20 minutes, I'm not watching it on YouTube. Hmm. And so I will just queue up a long list, a long thing, and it depends on the season. So I think a couple of years ago, I was listening to a list of new horror movies or new things to watch around Halloween or something like that, and this had popped up, and it just sounded interesting. You say found footage kind of thing. I'm going to give it a shot. I don't know why, because I always have the same problems with them every single time. But yeah, I ended up giving this a shot and walked away just being like, we'll get there. But for you listeners, if you have not watched this and you want to, or if you have not watched this and you're like, I'm not going to watch that, I don't have 3 hours to watch something, it is 62 minutes and it is on YouTube for free. I have premium, so I don't know if there's ads. I'm sure there's ads.
I got one ad in the middle. That was it.
Okay. Not bad. Go watch it. It's go watch it. I would love to hear what you think about it. But right now, spoiler warning, I'm going to give you a brief breakdown of this. This movie, this short film, is a found footage that follows a small group of friends, notably two, the Prank Bros. You got Milk and Seven. And they are a couple of friends that just out prank each other and have upload these videos to YouTube. They have a pretty solid following, almost 400,000 subscribers, but they're always really upping the ante. So it's going to, the movie opens on Milk's birthday party. Seven had procured a gun, some blanks, and is ready to stage this thing to scare the shit out of Milk. Succeeds, and as the day goes on, another person shows up. And it's a really weird situation that just keeps getting weirder over the next couple of days, which ends up to actually be Milk's prank on Seven. Now, at the tail end of this, they accidentally end up killing this man. And the true rug pull of this movie, and I don't even know if it's a rug pull because this movie is all over the place. It is a roller coaster. Is that Milk's a serial killer, and has been preying on some of his friends' partners and making them break up with them via text and blah blah. But his whole motivation in this movie is actually to kill Seven, and not just in any way, but to get him to the point where he kills himself. And the end the movie ends, and I'll say this, it feels pretty straightforward with a shooty suicide. And I saw a couple of things that point to it not being as open as you would think. Now, that is super tap dancey around everything that happens in this movie, because it seems, for something that should seem very straightforward that's going on throughout this whole movie, it is actually like back and forth. You know when you watch a movie and it's like it shows you a whole series of events for 30 minutes and then it jumps back and it's like, but watch it from this point of view.
That's what could have happened, but what about this?
And now look for this reveal that he's actually a killer. And that crazy dude he hired. But that's basically the idea and premise behind this. And I'm sure we are going to break it down even further. But I'm really, really curious to hear your guys' thought on the story and script of this movie. And I'm going to send it to Kyle, because you had the tab open for a full year. This has been, this is a response, a year in the making.
I actually have notes. Do any of my notes pertain to story?
What do you mean you don't like
it? I loved seeing bad things happen to YouTube pranksters out of the gate. Because on the whole, I think most people don't like prankster people. I don't know, but then a lot of those channels were huge, especially at a certain time. But it fits in. I like how it does so much story-wise with really so little. even though I feel it kind of gives away the goat a little early for my taste. I wish they kind of held that a little closer for a little bit longer. But then that might have made the movie longer. I don't know. But I feel like they gave it the whole milk thing a little early. I will say, really impressive prosthetics. That does not look like Sean Penn.
Oh, my God.
Banking on that one. Jesus Christ. overall, I don't know. It was good. It was better than average. It was really impressive. I liked how easy it was to follow. I'm going to give it a 4, and I feel pretty good about a 4 with it. It does a lot, and it's enjoyable. So, and then he usually is my yin to my yang, my counterbalance. Is it holding true? Ryan, what do you say, buddy?
I feel like I agree with some of what you said, but also disagree with some of what sure. you said. I agree that I do think they play their cards a little, or they show their hand a little too early on. And it's specifically in like the Never Have I Ever game where he talks about killing a cat. I'm like, oh, okay. So not only do you already look like a fucking wide-eyed psychopath, you admitted killing a cat, which is like one of the clearest signs of psychopathy. So, pretty sure I know where this goes 10 minutes into the movie, and sure enough it goes that way, which is super disappointing. I don't think it has anything to do with like them rushing or not having enough to extend. I think honestly it's already kind of a short movie. It's not a feature full length movie. I think that is like at 80 minutes or some shit is like a technical feature length, or maybe it's 70. I don't know, but if we're not at a full length anyway, I think there's maybe 10 minutes that could be cut in the middle of this too, to make it a little bit just tighter. But what I think really works, as Sean said and maybe hinted at, are the twists. I think it's really clever in the construction and how they play with the different perspectives. The rewinding to show like what Milk was actually doing, very fucking clever. I think that all kind of works. I do have some quibbles with maybe some of the stuff they linger on versus what they don't. I guess it just depends on what you are. I don't know what you view on things, but maybe somebody would say what Milk did to Seven is the most fucked up thing possible. But for me, in a horror movie, when the only like real violence and like awful shit you're shown is like somebody like smashing a woman's face on the ground repeatedly, like sometimes it goes into like the, it's either a little scuzzy, kind of makes me feel ick, kind of like we're just going to beat on a woman kind of territory, or it's like the we're going to endanger a puppy or a child, like kind of, that's the easy reaction. Obviously this is going to get this kind of reaction, so we're falling on this kind of trope. And either way, it's something that never really clicks with me. It's why I don't love the Terrifier movies. And like that's like the big thing outside of the big long game, I guess, really. It kind of didn't necessarily sit super right with me. But like the dude's a fucking psychopath. So what are you going to say? I'm not too hard on this because this is only one thing I've seen. And really, there's so many ways it could go. But I'm positive on this. I'm like bearing the lead so far because I'm just working through my thoughts too. I'm positive. I don't think that I'm as positive as Kyle. I want to say I'm a very strong 3, but there are some issues specifically with the dialogue, which is like this that's included here, where some of the things like Milk was saying like on screen, like when he said it, like I laughed out loud. Like the him talking about his beating brick, I audibly laughed. Like, I had a real chuckle, and I don't think I was supposed to. I think that's supposed to be, like, kind of a creepy, ominous thing. Maybe not. Maybe I didn't interpret the scene correctly. But then, if I'm not interpreting the scene correctly, I think maybe we're confusing, like, some comical and horror tones, and I just don't know that it was clear enough. So I'm positive. I think there's room for improvement. I think what's here is really good, but it is like, again, it's such a small scale thing. Like, even if I'm not over the moon with it, I do want to say, like, I respect the fuck out of this. I really do. So with that, I want to pass it to Brian and see where he falls.
Yeah, I echo a lot of what you and Kyle have said. I agree that they gave up the plot a little bit too early. You have an hour long movie, so I understand like you want to get to where you're trying to get to, but I definitely think they could have waited a little bit longer for the actual serial killer reveal. I mean, mm-hmm. when he is going to Lara's house, you already know what's coming because of things he's already said and things that have been established throughout the story. But yeah, it's this is not my genre. Horror is not my genre, but I do dig the found footage thing whenever it's presented. And so I had an easier time getting into this one than I would a horror movie usually. And it's, I mean, like, it's pretty grounded. It's serial killer stuff too. It's not like a cult or you know, cryptids or some sort of spirit. It's humans, which are honestly the scariest thing that exists. So, as far as the actual story goes, it's pretty straightforward. Obviously, what really worked for me is I only know Curry Barker from random TikToks that I've seen or Instagram reels where he's doing comedy sketches. So, like, this felt so out of left field that it was like, okay, this is kind of crazy because this guy, I only know him on the internet for doing funny stuff, which is kind of helping out his character here. But overall, yeah, the ending was excellent, I think. It kind of happens abruptly in a way that you're like, okay, so now he's really going in for seven, and then all of a sudden the movie's over. And then after the credits roll, the camera moves, and you're like, okay. Mm-hmm. So all that said, I'm right where Ryan is. I'm not sure. I'm somewhere in between you two. It's either a very high three or a low four. And I think I'm going to go with the three and then let Sean raise that up. I assume. I don't know yet.
Yeah, I'm personally, I don't mind the little touches early on, and there's touches sprinkled out throughout this movie that just pay off every single time. And I applaud that and the attention to everything that happens, whether it be the hint of the cat thing. Like, I get it. We're smart people. We know what's going on. Not everybody does, so it would work for other people probably a little bit more. So it's nice that something like that is in there for other folks, I guess. But there are, man, other things that would just work on such other levels, like script. And this isn't even pushing back on what Ryan said, and I think it's just different interpretations of different things. Like, I think you're supposed to laugh at those spots where he's talking about his smashy brick, because it's when you're presented with the absurdity of someone being away from other people and being able to just like be themselves and just be ridiculous, be in their element. Like sometimes that's so absurd that you can't help but laugh at the absolute horror and craziness of what you're seeing. And like, it can be funny and also like, what the fuck? So I love that. And also like another little nod to the script is like the whole thing that he says in his car. Like every time he's in his car filming himself, and I'm talking about Milk here, whether it be like flashing to those creepy like smiles, or like, what do you mean you don't like it? Whatever. He's got the whole little thing of, I love my friends. I would never hurt my friends. That does count for something. I have morals. I'm a good person. I have limits. That matters. And this whole thing is leading up to him getting one of his friends to kill themselves. But him not doing it, him getting someone else to kill themselves. And that is just such another layer for me in terms of like watching it on a second time and really clocking that, knowing where this is going. And knowing that he had the foresight to put the blank in the gun, knowing that Seven was going to shoot him and then kill himself, like, absolutely. I think the story in this and the way that it bounces all over the place was outstanding. And I think Ryan
and I just realized something at the same time.
Yeah. That's an interpretation. What did you guys realize
that may influence me? What?
That the camera move at the end, you're saying, was Milk being so smart that he planned to be shot with a blank and then have Seven kill 100%. Himself.
That's exactly what happened.
The camera was being picked up by Milk.
Yeah. Yeah.
They allude to the blanks all the time, and that's why he flips out when he was putting it in his pants, because he didn't want him to shoot the blank off early and realize that it was a fake gun.
Yep. So, and that's why he gave him the gun.
They set the blank thing up like four times in the movie.
They do.
And that's another thing where it's like they set it up early and pay off.
That's why I gave it a 4. That's why I really liked it. Like, it sets up and it pays off. Like, I liked it.
That was crazy. Okay.
I still stay at a strong 3. Fair. But
I'm going a strong 4 here, and I don't know why I'm not going a 5. I'm going a 5. Okay. I'm going a 5 on here.
There you go.
Because I don't know why I wouldn't. It's I don't know. I can't knock it at all. I'll knock it in other areas, but
oh yeah, I will too. But I really liked what it
brought me here. Yeah. And next up is going to be the characters. Characters, the actors, antagonists, protagonists. Brian, can you start us off here?
Yeah, Milk. Milk is insane. And you don't realize it until they're already well within the plot of this movie, because they're setting up a surprise party for him in the beginning. So you don't see a lot of interaction with Milk. You just know they're planning this all for Milk. And then you meet Milk and you're like, okay, sure. YouTube personality. He's always streaming. He's on, and then he's not. But when he's not on, this dude is bonkers, and it's believable. And so is Seven. I think these characters are so well realized and natural, and like, even Greg, when you first see him, he's acting a little bit too weird, and you're like, okay, this is kind of forced. And then you find out a few scenes later he's a fucking actor, and you're like, oh my god, of course, brilliant. And it's just I really dig these characters, and I find them, I mean, definitely issues with their character, their moral character, their compass, but like, that's part of this. And I think this is really well done, and I'm going full 5 on these characters. And then I'm going to give it to Kyle.
It's funny. It's wild how similar the horror comedy crossover is. They all seem to like to flirt with it, and most of them are pretty good. This crew also. I thought Milk was a little over the top, but in a good way. When he steals the jacket, that's when I felt they gave it away too early, like the cat thing for sure. But when he's like filming himself, like, oh, I stole their jacket, I did the thing again. I was like, okay, so here, this is what we're going with here. But I liked Milk. I really did like Seven, though. Like you said, his believability and the realism in him is there. I was glad the other two friends had more minor parts, because they're not as good at it, I feel. Mm-hmm. But they were still believable enough. I still have my things I'll get to, and I won't ramble too long. I'm not as high as you, Brian, but I am still pretty high. I did enjoy it, and I was interested in the characters throughout. And as antithetical to usually a horror movie, there's nobody here I really hated or wanted to die. So, maybe the wrong word there. Ryan looked flabbergasted, and I am milked and dumb. So, anyways, I'm at a 4, and I will kick it to Sean.
I'm right there with Brian, and every word that he said, like, even further upon it, like you say, they're full, so full, realized, and talking about their moral compass. Okay, they're like, I don't know, young to mid 20 somethings creators. And in today's day and age, we all know those young, they're right. They have these packs that like, okay, this is the content we're making. We'll do whatever, to the point where in this movie, they're, you know, Courier, what's his name? Milk is like, oh yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Just drug him. It's cool. It's cool. You know, we have this understanding. Like, and the thing is I'm fucking sure that they did. Like, I'm sure, like, it sounds gnarly to hear him say that, but I'm also probably sure that, yeah, because the reaction when he's like, it was worth it, you know, says everything. These characters are so, so fucking good. I loved Frank. Frank, the guy's son.
Yeah.
And like, just how unbullshit he is all about. Mm-hmm. Like, put the fucking camera away. Are those fucking spy glasses? Like, his character is so great in contrast to all of these youth that are just making this content. Five for me. Ryan, finish us off.
I am somewhere in between you three, and I will figure it out after I'm done talking. I really, really... All right, so I guess I think the character work is strong. I don't think it's perfect. I think it's very strong. I do think there are arcs to some characters. Some of the tertiary ones are... Or sorry, secondary ones are even, like, fleshed out pretty well. Like, the actor neighbor and, like, even his son, like... There's actual character here. What really impressed me more so than the character work was the acting. I disagree with Brian. I think immediately Curry Barker, I had him pegged as a fucking psycho. There is something about his look, and he was doing
it's
something
his dead eyes. Like
dead eyes, how he reacted or didn't react kind of just right to like how somebody said something early. I was tuned in, and that is either like just pure coincidence of like perfect casting. I don't think that. I typically tend to think like that's a choice, and I maybe give credit when it's not due. But like for me, that's him making a choice, and that's him like really embodying the character. And I, especially for like an indie production with like a bunch of like relatively unknowns, I was kind of blown away with the acting here. The acting alone makes me want to give this a five. I kind of want to tamper that back down because I think the characters are mostly fine. I don't love them as much as I hear Sean and Brian talking about them, but like I the acting is so fucking good. Especially Seven at the end when like he's in the bathtub, like that's
it's good stuff.
A particularly moving scene, like from a fucking YouTuber level actor, like that's incredible. Like this is kind of insane to me, and maybe this deserves a four, but I'm gonna give it a five, god damn it.
I also, one of my notes I wrote is albino freaks are always the serial killers. I pegged him from the start too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he looks a little bit too much like Jesse Plemons not to be the killer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you know we don't trust him
perpetuating that stereotype. Let's go. that leaves you, Kyle.
No,
right?
I went. I gave it a four.
That's it.
That's everyone.
That's a wraps.
Fire. Fire. I am blanking out left and right. May have just killed somebody. Anyways, we are getting to theming, right? I don't have the categories.
Style.
Style. I do this weekly. Fantastic. Style, which is going to cover genre, theme, tone, music, artistic stuff. And here, and Ryan, I want to start with you this time.
Well, I am with you, and I will say an echo. I really do like found footage stuff. I'm a sucker for it. Even when it doesn't work or I have issues with it, I still am drawn to it for some reason. Even like the worst of it, I find myself coming back. So
every
just
time.
Off the bat, like, I think there's a style here that works for me. I think they do it really well. I really especially like the And maybe it feels a little bit forced narratively, which is why I ranked lower in the story. But like the one-offs with just like Milk one-on-one talking and like his weird like kind of YouTuber breakdowns of like what he's talking about, but like what he's talking about is psychotic weird murder shit. I think that does have this weird kind of energy that like elevates this beyond just typical found footage. I don't know. I think there's stuff that works here. I don't think there's anything particularly groundbreaking, like camera-wise, shot-wise, cinematography-wise. There's absolutely nothing special. I think a lot of it is carried by the acting and the story and kind of the twist that they do. I will also use style as my jumping off point to say I think the title Milk and Cereal is a bit ham-fisted, and they really came up with it in a way that is so shoehorned, and like to have like a scene explaining why this character is called Milk so then he can be a serial killer later. It's like, you could just come up with a different name and not have this character called Milk, and that's fine. Just call this Maniac and then have him be called something else, and we don't need a Milk scene. None of that's relevant. I found all of that like a little silly and needless.
How did you feel about Seven being Seven because he's the seventh Steven?
I also found that a little kind of silly too. And the whole like, oh, he accidentally turned into my seventh kill. Oh, I never thought of that. Like, that's all coincidental. This is why the story, I'm much more lukewarm on the script than the story. The style, I do think it works. Again, I'm not super high on it because I think there could be a bit more done with like just the visuals. So I'm going to go with the 3. I didn't even touch on the music or sound, but I'll let somebody else do that. And that somebody else will be Sean.
I think in a couple of things that you just said, I love that people can look at things in a different way. And I think one of the wonderful things about him doing the solo things for himself is because this psychopathic fuck is so ingrained in the content creation that that is the only way that his brain knows how to work. And in that, I think Curry is one of the smartest like creators that I've seen in a long time, because I think even this section where he's like, you know, Seven was going to be my sixth, but then I killed Laura. And oh my God, I didn't think about that. Literally think that that is literally just entertaining content creator. Like, he's just making content for possibly nobody at this point, or if it's going to get out there kind of thing. And he's just thinking about the content, which is, to me, lends so much to the story and the scripting and the characters and like why I think so highly about that. But in style, holy shit, I don't know why I love found footage stuff so bad, because I think it's absolute shit. Like, every time I watch it, it drives me mental. When I watch something like this or Paranormal Activity, and for 3/4 of the movie, I'm like, why are you recording right now? Why do you have a kid? There is no reason for you to have, like, I get it, you're a content creator, but it makes no fucking sense why you're recording right now. All of the other stuff, yes. Ryan had mentioned that he didn't notice any like groundbreaking editing or anything like that. And I actually think the editing in this movie is horrendous. Okay. Absolutely horrendous. They cut, so you can have a scene where they're just talking and they cut. Like, the two of us could be having a conversation. I could be talking right now and there's a cut right here and then just continue on. They cut so often and just have the person continue on with what they were saying instead of just making one continuous shot. Because whether it be for editing and cutting stuff together, or they're trying to trim stuff down for time or something like that, it was so unnecessarily cut down and jarring at times where it was really fucking annoying. Now, on the flip side of that, I really enjoyed the little bits where every time where someone's like, oh, don't record, and then they like snuck it. Like, I, that made me laugh. And that has nothing to do with that. I guess maybe that's just a great direction in there. By like the third or fourth time I laughed, I was just laughing. But the editing and the cuts in the editing really annoyed me. It's like you're watching a found footage where every time someone takes a break, it's a noticeable cut. Drove me nuts. For that, I'll give it a 1. But for the cheery music at the end, I'm going to bump it up to a 2. This movie, you said it yourself, Ryan, like this movie thrives on the story and the characters, not so much in the format. This could have been a different format than a found footage.
Sean has convinced me, Brian, please take me down to a 2 as well. I was kind of already, but that, yeah, he makes very good points here.
He makes very good points.
I cannot believe I came into a movie and made good points about editing.
Hey.
Well,
that's character growth. Right.
Buckle in.
Let's go. It took 10 years. yeah, to you, Kyle. Yeah,
buckle in, boys, because I got more to say on style. But first, I want to say,
let's go.
And Echo, I also am an absolute massive, massive slut for the found footage genre. I also, I have,
fuck yeah.
I don't know if you can see that. February. That is a signed photo from Katie from Paranormal Activity, saying the last phrase she says to Michael, Micah before she kills him, which is, I think we'll be okay now. Shout out to Mike Lanham, who got that for me, the homie, the number one G. But yeah,
that is,
I am a sucker for all things found footage. I think there's, if there's one I haven't seen, it's got to be Rare. I go out, I watch almost any found footage movie. I don't care. And I mean, they all always are ridiculous. You do have to turn the brain off of just the simple question of why are you filming? It is a little more explained in this at the start, but then toward, like, dude seven, why the fuck are you filming? Why are there two different camera angles for the guy that's trying to kill himself in the desert, even though he's not really? But here's my thing, fellas. This movie, famously, they bragged $800 budget.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Yep.
Nuts.
Yep. I would say spend a couple hundred more.
I don't know. Spend $1,000.
What?
Hear them out.
I don't know.
Get a third camera.
The Halloween store bones, the plastic bones on the kill floor, the obviously Halloween store hand severed that's just hanging behind Laura. Like, what are. Don't have them or spring for the good version. What are we doing here? Styles of one.
They had a very perfectly good preserved ear. Like, more of that.
If they were going for the style of LA YouTuber's apartment, they nailed it because it's an LA YouTuber's apartment. And I can't really give style points for that set dressing so much. I love every time they come up the stairs and it's just one of the dude's obvious stormtrooper, like, 48-inch tall statuettes that's just in every shot, like, hey! Got my Star Wars, got my Stormtrooper, let's get this guy prominent. Woo! So yeah, one. Brian.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much I can say that you guys haven't already. This if you're gonna do found footage, you can't have arbitrary new camera angles during a scene that only has one camera present. It's not allowed. Also, a thing I do like found footage. The more of them I see, I'm like, yes, absolutely, give me more of this. But at the same time, I agree with Sean. Most of them have moments where you're like, what are we doing with this fucking camera?
The thing that actually really drove me nuts in this one, found footage. Why are we having title cards in a found footage movie? Because that right? just screams, this has been edited. This is not found footage. This is something that's been uploaded to YouTube. Which you could say that's what it is. Don't treat it like it's found footage then.
Oh, hold up. Hold up.
Oh, I might have
hold
just...
up.
It's on YouTube. What's up?
Hold on.
It is on YouTube.
You're wait a viewing minute. It through YouTube, and it is like
did Milk to be upload this?
Ah.
I tell you, that's Sean Penn. He's a multi-layered guy.
Yo.
That's what it is.
I was missing the whole meta because I watched it on a TV and through a YouTube app instead of watching it on YouTube on my laptop. I think that would have actually given it
as Sean Penn an extra layer. Like when he was doing the press, he's like, you know, we made Penn this to be watched on a phone, like in your bathroom.
He should have uploaded it to
seven people that understand that.
A separate account that was just like from Milk.
That would have been cooler.
And maybe right. like two or three other videos that are just like 10 seconds of just
him
like,
outside Laura's
know,
house,
chunks
like
or
filming.
Something. Or yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
Would have been cool.
Yep. Weird, real weird shit. But just like
ARPG stuff.
That would have been excellent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Milk doesn't want you to see that in this video that he uploaded onto YouTube.
But yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. So, it hurts the premise a little bit for me, but I also understand now that this is a found on YouTube footage movie. I did like that when they did the title cards, though, they were a little bit ambiguous and leading you. It was like the day he dies, and you don't know who he is. And then it's like the day they die, and you're like, oh, okay, is it going to be his friends? Because they're going through his stuff. And so there was some pretty neat stuff just around the use of the title cards, but it drove me crazy that they were using title cards. That's the only thing I have to add. I'm also giving it a 2 for style.
I was the lowest.
The day they die, which you think is Milk and Seven, but it's Seven and Frank.
Isn't Seven the name that George Costanza wanted to give his kid in that episode of Seinfeld?
Wait a minute, that dumb fuck, Seven is his eighth, because he killed Frank.
I think
that's true.
He didn't kill Frank. Seven killed Frank.
That doesn't count, because that's a murder.
Seven killed Frank.
He didn't kill Frank.
No.
No.
Milk Who's stabbed Frank? Him in the neck.
Seven was in the tub.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, Seven lured him into the bathroom, but yes. Milk See? Killed Frank.
Story, script, screenplay. Not great. 3.
No, every now and again, you have a lapse in whatever. Okay, I'm going to flip this a little bit. Typically, we go into entertainment value, but honestly, I don't know why we do that when director is last. No, I want to end on entertainment value. So we are going to director on this one, and I will kick this off and say, man, I sent you guys a couple of things in the chat. As someone was talking earlier, Curry Barker has like, he has a bunch of like from the mind of Curry Barker. He has a bunch of like horror shorts that I cannot wait to go watch after this.
He's got a
that are pretty
feature film deal now too, I guess, off of this thing.
Okay. Great.
Have you seen any of them, Sean, so far?
No. And these are all released prior to this and are rated higher than this. So I look forward to watching these because, man, this guy fucking knocked it out of the park. He wrote it. He directed it. He was Milk. He cinematography. He worked on the music. He edited the whole thing. He literally, you can tell that this entire movie, for better or worse, from the mind of one person, and the vision comes across and he absolutely crushes it for me, from my point of view. And I think, honestly, I don't ever hear anybody talking about any of the stuff that he does outside of like what Brian had said. I had only seen him in like comedy shit on other social media stuff. And I can't wait to see his other stuff. I think he crushed it for $800. $800 in a couple of shitty bones. Like five. It's a five from me, and I'll send it to you, Kyle.
I'm not so high. Again, they should have not had the plastic bones, man. That was ridiculous. But like I said, I found a lot of enjoyment in the movie. It was easy to follow overall. I liked a lot of the cuts, like the first time that you see Milk in the hallway where he looks like flustered and really upset and he's playing it off like that guy's in his house. And then when you see it from the other one, it's because he was actually filming his own floating head segment of his own prank, and he almost got caught, and that's why he looks all like... I liked all those things. That was actually really good direction, really good setup. Like I said, the whole thing that they flirt with the blanks and the real bullets all the time back and forth and how that pays off at the end, great. I do have qualms. It's not a perfect movie. I'm giving it a 4 on director, though. Still pretty high.
Drop me down to a 4 because I immediately forgot about how much all of the jumps editing.
That's in direction
too. And he was the editor, so 4.
Yeah.
Idiot.
Brian.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. It's a 4 for me for the same reasons. This thing, it's very impressive what they did with $800. But when your budget's that low, you can do a little bit more. Like the difference between an $800 movie and a $1,000 movie is not going to prevent you from putting out the movie for like what, a week or two. You could push it a little bit more. That said, Curry Barker, directed, written, music. He did the original score for this.
A real John Carpenter
of a score. Cinematography and the lead. I mean, this guy had a vision, executed it. I cannot say anything bad about him that I haven't already said about title cards and multiple camera angles and et cetera. So 4. And Ryan, bring us home.
I will not bury the lead like I often do with my long rambles. And I will say I'm right there with you guys. I'm a 4. So I'm just going to put that out there. And now I'm going to ramble.
Now we go.
I do think it's interesting. I don't know that I have a sense of his style yet. And I will say that. And this is, it sounds like it's not his first movie. He's had other short movies before this one. But I don't have an immediate sense of Curry Barker as a director like I would with like Edgar Wright in Shaun of the Dead. Like immediately you get it. Or fucking even Kevin Smith, who is hit and miss for me. But like Clerks announces itself, and like you get a sense of Kevin Smith immediately in Clerks. I don't know that I get a sense of Curry Barker in this movie. What I do see is things borrowed from other people but incorporated brilliantly, which is why I do think the direction should be very high, because I think he pulls it off very well. But I don't even know when this came out to like give like context. If he's made other movies since, I hope they've had a bit more creativity to them in terms of like inspiration and what he's like using as a subject. If he's not made movies yet, then I hope he does that going forward. Fucking, who are the two New Zealand people who did Talk to Me? Mm-hmm. Like, even that movie came out and like had a fucking voice and that style like immediately. Fede Alvarez. Fede Alvarez came out with what was his first fucking movie? And then like it launched him into the alien. I'm getting off track here. I think he's very strong, but I think to get that 5, I'd have to see just like that spark of just like identity. Like, and I just don't see that yet. I see a bunch of pastiches and things he's borrowed from. Done well. Tarantino does it, no shade. But I want a little bit more of him to see him through this. If that makes any sense at all.
Absolutely. So I think this is his most recent thing that he had done. And he did just sign on to do a $10 million project. And from what I'm seeing here, so Cooper Tomlinson, who played Seven, they are the two that made the channel That's a Bad Idea. So this is their YouTube channel that this came from. The Chair, which is one of the ones that I had sent to you guys in the chat, is a short that is, I believe that is the film that is being turned into a feature film.
Mm.
He's expanding that one out. So I'm very, very curious to check that out. Just in general, just to see if, to get a grasp of his style, or if he's just like, I don't know, another Jordan Peele that just has this great mind for horror.
I jumped to the guy who did Lights Out on YouTube. That's then directed a feature length Lights Out, and then Shazam, and went into Hollywood big time. I can't think of his name.
Yeah.
But I could see a very similar path.
Yeah. So that's gonna lead us to entertainment. And guys, I want to know, I think Brian hasn't let us off in a while. So Brian, can you kick us off for entertainment?
Yeah, sure. Thoroughly entertained. Held my attention the whole time, which is easy to do at 62 minutes with an ad right in the middle for, I don't know, dog food or something. But it's...
it wasn't cat food. Meow.
Right? I'm out. Nope. Lost me. I think this was a fun little YouTube-themed found footage serial killer flick. You know, as that genre goes, this is pretty excellent. There are a couple things that hold me back from giving it a 5, and they're things that I've already discussed ad nauseum at this point. So I'm just going to say it is a 4 for me on the entertainment value. Do recommend, would watch again. And I will kick it over to Sean.
I'm going to keep it short and sweet. This is, you might think I'm going a 5 here, but I'm actually going a 4. I really, 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 really like this movie. There is a lot of things about this that I think would have increased my entertainment from it. There's nothing that's having me think to myself, I would not recommend this to somebody. Not a single thing, but it's not like a holy shit, that was fucking incredible kind of movies. So I'm going a solid 4 on this, and I'm going to set it to Kyle.
I mean, it's wild. We're going to end up, I think, a lot higher than the average on this, but I'm also at a 4. I think the length of this overall lends to a lot of its credit, although at one point, like, I just had to check something. And I was sure I was 45 minutes deep into this movie, and I was only 28 minutes in, and I was like, okay, so still a lot left to happen here. but yeah, I'm with you. It's a 4. It hits, it goes, it's entertaining. I could recommend it to people, and I think I will. So yeah, absolutely. Does that leave what? Ryan?
Yeah, that's it. I'm going to end on a womp womp, but not like too much of a womp womp, but I'm lower than everybody else here. I'm at a 3 for entertainment value. As much as I love me some found footage movies, I don't love killers, specifically just like serial killer movies. They don't do it for me. They don't do it for me at all. So this one was not the roughest, but like it was a hard one for me to jump into. And then I do, like I said, the editing along with, like, I would trim at least 10 minutes of this. I would make this a little bit of a shorter movie even, because again, we're not playing it in theaters, so it doesn't even have to be 60 minutes. Why not make it 50? Because I could trim some minutes out of this movie. I'm Kyle kind of said it, but he's more positive. Like, I did feel the length a little bit, and I do think there's some work to be done here. But maybe it's because I'm also just not tuned into, like, the straightforward slashers. Like, that's not my jam. I don't love those typically. I like, if we're going horror, I do like a little bit more fantastical and, like, ramped up if we're going to go that way. So this is like, this is a three for me, but this is 100% like my biases are on full display, and this is me bringing my bullshit into it. It's me. Bullshit, it's not the movie. It's me, y'all.
Yeah.
Bullshit, everybody's got their
Everybody's got their jams. And actually, boys, it turns out that I lied. He does have a recent full length. Maybe this is that movie, but it's called Obsession, which is sitting at a 7.4 on IMDb right now, which is a festival favorite right now.
That seems like a very high rating.
Yeah.
Just so, like in general, not even for indie. Like that is a high rating from IMDb.
Kreger's too.
Yeah.
It looks like its wide release is set for May.
Zach Kreger's another comedy guy that pivoted hard into horror and is just crushing it. So.
Oh, yeah. Weapons?
Barbarian.
Come on. Oh, yeah. I forgot he did Barbarian.
Mm-hmm. Kreger's does good shit.
Oh, I'm so hyped for this movie. Brian, what's that land us at for this movie?
Well, this movie, it's hard to say what people think of it because it's a YouTube movie. It doesn't have a lot going on like the Rotten Tomatoes and the Metacritics of the world, but it is on IMDb at a 6.6. It's on Letterboxd at a 3.3, so exact same score. Yeah. So 66 is what people generally think of this, and we put it at a 72. So Kyle was right. We are higher, but not much.
Wow. I honestly thought we were much higher given all of... Man, we crushed it in style.
Style, yeah. Style brought it down quite a bit.
Yo, we shit all over this thing. But yeah, I thought we were going to be so much higher, but no. It's wild how close we came to that with this. Man, I am shocked to hear from you guys how much y'all like found footage. Because it feels like one of those, like, not everybody loves it. And to be in a group call with three other people and everyone's like, yeah. Turns out I really like these. Love it. Found footage February. Here we go.
Found footage February.
I had that same thought.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Do we all get a pick this month?
Maybe.
I would imagine.
Yeah, but you already used yours for in-betweeners.
I did. Darn.
Some would say that's... No, I'm not going there. Anyways, boys, I am just super hyped that you guys hopped in, watched this with me, discovered a new person that might send you down a rabbit hole of watching some other short stuff. Like, his other stuff's like 20 minutes long.
Definitely be on the lookout for him in the future, because I think he's going to blow up in a big way in the next few years.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
You also did a good job, Sean.
Yeah, this was very exciting.
You brought in the first actual YouTube content to the show.
Let's go. I'm a trendsetter. I'm a game changer. A world something. I don't know.
I talked too much about Meet the Johnsons. I didn't act on it quick enough.
Oh, is that a YouTube thing?
I actually don't think it's allowed on YouTube.
No, it is not.
It's you gotta go to like Daily Motion or original. Vimeo or what? Some shit.
But with that ends my week. And
what a great
the
pick.
Next
Thank
person
you,
up though is gonna be Brian. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Brian, what are you bringing?
So I've actually been thinking about this for a couple days now, and I have not been able to narrow it down. So I'm going to have you boys choose for me.
I have it narrowed down to three options.
Three options, and I'm going to tell you right now, each of these is subverting its genre.
Okay.
All three of them. So do you boys want to talk about a kaiju, superheroes, or a rom-com?
If I guess the kaiju.
Kaiju or rom-com? Superhero is actually the bottom for me, weirdly.
Yeah. I think all three subverting.
I think I know the kaiju.
Is the kaiju subverting? Honey, I shrunk. Honey, I blew up the baby.
Baby, I blew up the baby.
Baby, I blew up the honey.
Man, those movies titles are so fucked. I didn't like you say one and you don't know where to go from there. Yeah. It's like a choose your own adventure that you lose every time.
So we have one vote for kaiju.
That's interesting that the subversion is it's Honey, I Blew Up the Kid. And I love that. And I hope it is.
I'm also going Kaiju because if it's what I think it is, I would love to watch it again.
Kyle, what do you think it is?
I will write it down, and then if I'm right, I will show it. How about that?
Interesting. Because you think it's a subversion.
Yeah.
I'm going Kaiju as well.
Hold on, let me write this.
All right, it's unanimous.
Just because I want it to be Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Hold on.
Okay. Who's the Kaiju? Well, then it looks like it's unanimous for Kaiju, so I'm just going to say at the last minute I switch mine to rom-com, and I'll die in the rom-com hill.
I do want to know what each other one is, but yeah, Kaiju.
So do I.
All right, well, I'll start with the rom-com. The rom-com was going to be They Came Together, which is Paul Rudd.
Oh, you would have loved it.
Yeah, and Amy Poehler. And it's one that I was, because, you know, Valentine's Day is coming up. I was going to do that, but the
spiritual sequel to Wet Hot American Summer, They Came Together.
The superhero one would have continued Found Footage February, because it was going to be Chronicle.
Chronicle would have been a good one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. So
I like that one.
I reserve the right to change my choice. No.
Instead, we're going to continue Found Footage February, and we're going to be talking about Cloverfield next week.
Let's go! That's not my subversion. Okay. That's not what I thought.
Yeah.
But
what did you
lucky
think?
For you, Cloverfield is a top tier movie for me. I thought subversion was going to be Colossal.
Yeah, Colossal's excellent and would have been fun, but
and I was looking
that's
forward to
it. That's what I thought you were going to say it was.
Watching it again.
It was subverting.
That was a fun date night movie for me and Ryan one time.
100%. When we talked about Anne Hathaway's butt afterwards.
We did, because she was pregnant and she had a nice butt. That's funny you remember that. I don't even remember that.
Great butt. I do. Because it was like the one time you're like, man, did you notice that butt? And I was like, yeah, I actually did. And we really kind of bonded on it.
Oh, that's excellent.
Wow, that movie looks wild.
You've never seen Colossal? You're the only one, I think, then, because Brian, you've seen it, obviously, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good. It's got a good old Ted Lasso.
Oh, man, he's great at it, too. Sure. Talk about subversion. Yeah. Talk about subversion.
All right.
Yeah. Have you watched Cloverfield, Brian? Or are you going into a blind?
No, okay. I've seen Cloverfield.
Cool. I love that we're talking Cloverfield. It's going to be fun to talk about. Man, it sucks. I'm way too fat for it now. I actually still have my Slusho t-shirt I bought from the alternate reality game tied into Cloverfield. I was super into this.
Wow.
Same.
I'll dig it out so I can show it off on the stream next week when we are back to recording for YouTube, too.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
Hell yeah.
Well, Brian, I'm super hyped for that. I'm really hyped that it's somehow continuing on in the found footage.
Oh, yeah.
This is very exciting.
Oh, yeah. Two of those options I definitely came up with while we were recording to continue Found Footage February. Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah. Nice. Listeners, if you enjoyed this and you want to hear more, you can give me $7 million for me to give you.
He'll send you some butt milk brownies.
Where you could give us some butt milk brownies. Man, this Patreon this upcoming Friday is fucking crazy. I don't know how we get talking about what we do. Oh, yeah, I do. Nipples on butts. Patreon.com/experiencegrind or Linktree/experiencegrind, where you'll find the Patreon link on there and the link to the Discord, where we're all hanging out, posting cool shit, talking about movies, games, and ranking our favorite scents, which is turning out to be a bloodbath right now. In there. People are fucking weird, man. Like in the smell of fresh babies or something. I don't know. But check us out over there. Join us on there. And until next week, why don't you go drink some chocolate milk?